go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. We're off and running for the final, well, the final broadcast of this week, Friday, the 27th day of October, 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and that, of course, is where you go if you would like to be part of the Madcap Merry Multimedia Zany Wacky Real-Time Extravaganza that takes place in The Horn chat room between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, when the program is live. If you do that, if you pick out a free screen name and a free password, because everything at The Horn is free, well, you'll be greeted by the likes of Anatole and Kid Mark and Silent R. Lamar and VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space once again to become Man Cave. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It really is. It is Friday on the front porch for the last Friday of October 2017. There will never be another one like it. So, by all means, let's enjoy it. I should note here at the beginning of the program that this program is, in fact, partially brought to you by our subscribers. We have two of them on the 27th day of the month. We have Susan in Massachusetts, and we have Robert in Australia, who is closely watching the exchange rate, and I understand why. But as a result of that, and as a result of the actions of our buddy Fab, he who helped create and funded the Fab machine, well, we have only our ordinary evenings $200 to raise, and not some monumental, terrifying, humongous amount of money. So here's how it plays out. In order to finish the month of October and lick the Lithuanian, nudge the Norsky, and cash the check, we need to raise $350. And that'll knock out Monday, too, so that we can have a... Hey, wouldn't it be cool for actual Halloween? We'll have a fundraising-free Halloween. Cool, 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 cool. I say $350 because I know we will. I know there's at least a $50 contribution that'll roll through. Probably about 5-6 a.m. tomorrow. So if we could raise $350 this evening, 10 at 35, 35 at 10, 1 at 350. Two at 175. And then my brain begins to hurt. Well, we will have a fundraising-free Halloween. So if that is something that turns you on as much as it turns me on, then maybe we'll get that taken care of this evening. And, you know, along the way, because life is dull and boring, that will enable me to do something that I just found out that I have to do, that, to wit, replace the bearings on the rear end, on both rear wheels of the vehicle. Yay! Because repairs are so much fun, and that'll just about take care of the cost of that. So we've got $350 to raise this evening. Okay, now we do that because this program is listener supported. You'll never hear a commercial on this program. You will not hear that we don't have any sugar parents. We don't have any limousine liberals standing behind the program that I'm aware of. No, we have the determination of a community to keep this program going, and you have kept it going into what is now our 13th broadcast year. Yes. Okay, with one exception. Just, you know, one exception. I get a lot of questions at Horn Labs about whether something will enhance one's virility. And for once, I can guarantee it. Yes. Men, guys, dudes, have you tried Prurient Pimento? Yes, brand new for the end of October from Horn Labs and the dedicated bogus quack scientists therein. Prurient Pimento in capsule form. Well, you just don't even want to think about what it will do for you. Yes, Prurient Pimento from Horn Labs in capsule form gives you all the nutritional and vital, virile goodness of the... You've seen a pimento, haven't you? Yeah, okay. Well, it's like that, only powdered form in capsule, because I don't know about you, but I've never cared much for pimentos. And to this day, the only way that I can... Well, it's not the only way, but it's probably the least expensive way that I can get all of that virile vim, vigor, and vitality of the pimento into my daily nutritional regimen is with Prurient Pimento from Horn Labs. Accept no substitutes. If you buy somebody else's pimento capsule, don't blame me if, well, there's a lot of snickering and stuff going on when the lights go out. You won't have that with Prurient Pimento. Prurient Pimento from Horn Labs. Accept no substitutes. Use no hooks. Post no wires. Post no bales. This side damned well up. This is not a free call because operators are not standing by. It's just another bullshit nutritional supplement that we're hustling here at the Horn because we couldn't be a real, live, honest-to-goodness talk-based radio program unless we had a useless bullshit nutritional supplement to sell you. And we do. A different one every night until I run out of the list of vegetables and fruits and, well, then we'll start working on the fungi, okay? But for now, and I'm sorry to our dedicated core of female listeners. You know, if you want to try Prurient Pimento too, help yourself. Because after all, it's a bullshit nutritional product that doesn't do anything for anyone. So grab some today while you can't. Prurient Pimento from Horn Labs. Yes. Thank you very kindly to our buddy Steve in New York, sending the secret coded message, Lakotai. Loud and clear on TuneIn. Thank you very kindly, Steve. Maybe we'll hear from you on Friday on the front porch here in the not too distant future. That would be cool. Yes. That's good to know. And it's a mite toasty here in the studio. I've been trying to keep the air conditioner off because it creates a bit of a roaring in the background. And I have given up that battle. No, not purest pimento, Randy in PA. Prurient Pimento. Prurient Pimento. It is better than belligerent borscht. And the super stuff that belligerent borscht is made out of. Absolutely. Steve in New York wants to know if Prurient Pimento, will it cure my toe fungus and athlete's foot? Well, if it doesn't, you'll wish it had. How about that? Yeah? See? Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. That's true. Brother Deacon Asa says, I done seed you inhale that Secret Sandwich Society pimento cheese, Brother Bob. Well, see, that was back in my unreformed days. That was back before I took the cure, got on the wagon, and began living the life sanitary. Now I only get my pimento goodness from Purient Pimento from Horn Labs. Now that you mention it, though, that is some damn good... Well, never mind. A big Halloween costume party over at the Grove this evening. Naturally, I won't be there. I don't have a costume. So, I've never... Damn it! There's just too much thought that goes into that, and I've never been particularly good at it, so... Had a note to start the program from Ron in Raleigh. I picked the wrong profession, says Ron. It appears that the Republican grift machine is in full effect. The two-man energy company that has its headquarters in Whitefish, Montana, a town of 7,200, gets a contract to restore the electrical grid in Puerto Rico worth $300-plus million. I'm sure that Whitefish, being the home of Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, Shrinky Zinke, is just a coinky-dinky, or that his son was an intern with the firm. A journeyman lineman will be paid $330 per hour to $427 per hour, plus $80 per diem for food. Nice work if you can get it. Bob, I suggest you pull out your climbing spikes and catch the first thing smoking to Puerto Rico. By the way, since the entire grid was destroyed, why aren't they laying the new cable underground? Well, there's the thought. It's kind of hard to do that in mountainous areas. We've talked about that here. But I'll bet you they probably could, you know, if they wanted to. Good work if you can get it. Oh, yeah. Wrong business. Just the wrong business. Meanwhile, coded message to Tosh. Dude, that's bizarre. I had a note overnight from our buddy Terrace, who apparently was sincerely pissed off by a pitch received in the email from Move On. Move On, you see, sent out an email saying that they were down $250,000 in fundraising. Mm-hmm. I'll get straight to it. For the first time in the Trump era, Move On is falling behind. We're coming up short this month by about $250,000, and I've cleared my desk to help my fundraising colleagues close the gap before the end of the month. Did you notice that? Their Move On is down $250,000 for the month. Yeah. This did not sit well. This did not sit well with Terrace. And I will, therefore, share with you what Terrace sent on to me. You should give your operating cash to Bob Kincaid, who can run his show and advocate against mountaintop removal on $250,000 until the heat death of the universe. You didn't stop Dumpster from getting elected. What good are you doing now with your millions acquired via beg scare? You haven't fed a single hungry person. You haven't changed the mind of a single stupid pig licking. Instead, you're strategizing how to placate them. Go away. I get the idea they caught Terrace on a bad day. Yeah, that works out. A jug of punch is quick on the draw when it comes to the cipher, and a lot faster than me. That comes out to about $3 million a year in operating expenses. Yeah. Oh, sorry, just a second here. I've got to answer a question. Yeah, hopefully that'll take care of it. Let me make sure of something. Yeah, okay, we're good there. And by the way, the standard disclaimer applies. If we have any connectivity this evening, it's because, and I want to describe this in very, very specific scientific terms. Frontier sucks. We've had Frontier connectivity problems for going on a week now, and my trouble ticket says that they'll fix it by Halloween. Yeah, this is one of those highfalutin business counts. And, yep, nope, sorry. So if they ever do fix it, we'll be having one of those billing rate adjustment phone calls. But if the program should happen to disappear, it's not because I've become disgusted, thrown my hands up in despair, and run off to put together an impromptu costume and go out to the Halloween party. No, I'll still be sitting here swearing up a blue streak. All right, so that gets us. We're pretty much covered now for all the housekeeping that goes on at the front end of the program. 17 minutes past the hour, we will be firing up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in about 43 minutes or so, and we will get the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable going. And Friday on the Front Porch will be a reality once more. And so get ready for that. If you've never participated in Friday on the Front Porch, send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, and he will show you the breadcrumb trail, and he'll shine the bob signal off the clouds, and you'll know what to do and how to get there, and you'll be in the Friday on the Front Porch conversation before you know what hit you. Okay. Things for this evening. I'm not taking credit for having anything to do with this, but you know, I am kind of usually out there a little bit ahead of the curve on some of these things. And I've been talking about this for years, and somebody finally caught up. Anna Gorman, writing for Kaiser Health News a couple of days ago, they published this story over at CNN Money. Really? CNN Money. It's not on the main page or anything. Not where a whole bunches and bunches and bunches of people would see it. It's over at CNN Money. Where maybe they can sneak it in without the most powerful, wealthiest domestic terror organization in the United States, to wit, the National Rifle Association, seeing it. Mm-hmm. But I saw this headline, and my pink little ears immediately perked up. Las Vegas shooting victims struggle to afford mounting medical costs. This is something we needed after the Pulse shooting. This is something we needed after Virginia Tech, something we needed after Sandy Hook, Aurora, Tucson. Because the sensational part of one of our mass shooting stories happens, well, you know when it happens and why it happens, because in the world of for-profit journalism, if it bleeds, it leads. But the real news story, after after the dead have been counted, and after they have been segregated from the merely wounded or maimed for life, there's all kinds of stories. So Anna Gorman writes, Kurt Fowler and his wife Trina were celebrating their 18th wedding anniversary at a country music festival when the shooting started. Fowler, 41, knew he'd been hit in the ankle and couldn't run. He hid under the stage until the gunfire ended. I knew my foot was completely useless, said Fowler, a firefighter from Lake Havasu City, Arizona, and a father of three. He underwent surgery, spent nearly 2 weeks in the hospital, and still may need another operation. He also will need rehabilitation and follow-up visits with a specialist. Fowler has a Blue Cross Blue Shield PPO through his job, but he said he doesn't know how much he will have to pay out of his own pocket for the care he's receiving. In an era of higher deductibles and limited choice of in-network doctors, however, he knows he could face significant medical bills. There's also maybe a sentence that should have gone in there, in a country that places access to firearms over continued human existence for people like Mr. Fowler, he knows that it's going to be all on him. His insurance card says his individual deductible is $5,000 and his co-insurance is 20%. He said he didn't know how much his health plan would cover for out-of-state care. Medical expenses are astronomical these days, Fowler said from his bed at Sunrise Hospital and Medical Center in Las Vegas. It's a mountain that just doesn't seem like it's going to be climbable. But we're going to do our best. And, of course, that's the same position that literally hundreds of people are in after Las Vegas. And, of course, the most they can ever expect from the most powerful, wealthiest domestic terror organization in the United States, namely the NRA, are thoughts and prayers. What's that? You got shot in the foot for freedom? Well, thank God for your freedom there, feller. Here's some thoughts and prayers from the NRA. You wanna cover the copay? No way. We didn't get to be the wealthiest domestic terror organization in the United States by paying the medical bills of the people who get shot by, you know, our membership. Oh, hell no. Because remember, the NRA doesn't claim just to represent NRA members. The NRA claims to be the voice of all freedom-loving gun owners in Merca. Don't believe me? Go check it out. It's all over there. It's all over their website. It's all over their PR. They represent the Second Amendment in Merca. Right? The total costs of medical care alone could reach into the tens of millions of dollars, said Garen Wintemute, who researches gun violence at the University of California, Davis. I probably need to write down Garen Wintemute's name. We probably ought to have a conversation. And that's just the beginning. Many survivors will be out of work for months if they're able to return at all. Wintemute said, we really don't have a good handle on the intangible costs of something like this, the ripple effects on family and friends and neighborhoods when a large number of people have been shot. And we don't have that because, well, the wealthiest, most powerful domestic terror organization in the United States, the NRA, doesn't want that kind of inquiry being made. You see what I mean? Tens of millions of dollars. Hey, you know who has enough money to cover all of those tens of millions of dollars in losses? Ha! The NRA! Yeah. Of course, we have to remember that the gun manufacturers, and I guess by extension the NRA, have been provided legal immunity from suit. by people who get shot in outbreaks of freedom in the United States. Right. I dare say, I am not certain, but I dare say, and it would be an interesting thing for, say, maybe somebody working on a PhD in public health to take a look at. The disparate outcomes between victims of mass shootings in countries that have humane healthcare systems, you know, civilized countries, versus outcomes for people in the United States. Take Norway, for instance, where Anders Breivik, cut loose and slaughtered a whole host of people at a summer camp in that country. Well, being a Scandinavian country, they have sane access to health care, and they have a considerably more humane and civilized social safety net than we do here in the land of freedom. Here in the country where we define freedom by the ability to go out and buy all the firearms you want. Yes. Frustrating. Just frustrating, you know. So through no fault of his own, I mean, unless you include in that broad general heading of fault the fact that he wanted to do something special for his wife for their anniversary, Mr. Fowler is facing financial ruin because this country values firearms more than it does Mr. Fowler. Are we clear on that? All he wanted to do was do something special and have a Vegas weekend with his lovely wife, the mother of his their three children, and they were standing there in the crowd enjoying the concert when the world changed forever. And it changed forever for a variety of reasons, not least of which is the National Rifle Association's desire to put its own agenda ahead of the ability of Mr. Fowler to go on being Mr. Fowler, but also the desire of a guy in Moran, Texas, to manufacture implements that would turn semi-automatic rifles into something approaching automatic fire rifles. Quick update. A bump stock ban was introduced in the legislature of the state of Illinois. And guess what happened? Yeah, it went down in flames. A bump stock ban was introduced in the legislature of the state of Illinois, and Democrats and Republicans both voted against it, because it banned anything that would increase the rate of fire of one of these implements of slaughter. And there were complaints from people who were obviously terrified of the National Rifle Association, Democrats and Republicans alike, I just couldn't vote for this because it would turn perfectly lawful gun owners into criminals. Because people who shoot competitively in shooting sports often find it necessary to modify the triggering mechanism so that they can fire faster and get more rounds out of, and this would have turned them into criminals, and I can't support that because firearms mean freedom in the United States of America. I guess we see where this is going to go, don't we? Check in with the grieving parents from Sandy Hook if you want to find out where this is going. Nowhere. It's not going to go anywhere. There won't be any bump stock bans. There won't be any attempt to rein in the wealthiest, most powerful domestic terror organization in the United States, the National Rifle Association. So now we've just got a different number up there for the next next aficionado of freedom to go for. Yeah, by the way, Stephen Paddock had a bunch of Tannerite with him. We've talked about Tannerite in the past. It's this stuff, you mix it up and it forms and you can make targets out of it. And once it's mixed up, all you have to do is shoot it with a gun and it goes boom. He had 50 or so pounds of that stuff in his possession. If he had had time to maybe strategically place a few big loads of that, say, along the way, along the route, whereby people would try to flee from his gunfire, we could have had dead in the thousands, not 58. They could have been in the hundreds or maybe the thousands. Yes, because freedom, because there's no regulation on Tannerite either. Uh-huh. So take the story there of Mr. Fowler, multiply it by about 600 to one degree or another, and you get an idea of what's going on. Tens of millions of dollars. And there are some really good, tenacious, mean trial lawyers out there who could probably get some of that money back for the Mr. Fowlers of the world, but they are legally prevented from being able to do so. Now, the article continues, more than 100,000 people are shot every year in the U.S., according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. That generates out around $2.8 billion per year in emergency room and inpatient charges alone, according to a recent study in Health Affairs. The average emergency room bill for an individual gunshot victim is $5,254, and the average inpatient charge is, are you ready for this, $95,887. Also, that some pasty-faced dude can carry a gun into Walmart because he's too much of a chicken shit to go get a loaf of bread and a jug of milk without carrying his freedom protector, his hog leg, on his hip. Well, I tell you what, where's that Lee Greenwood when you need him? God bless the USA. Mm-hmm. But at least the work is finally being done. As for remedies to the problems that Mr. Fowler and others like him face, U.S. Senators representing Nevada, Dean Heller and Catherine Cortez Masto, wrote a letter to America's Health Insurance Plans, an industry trade group, in other words, the lobbying group, and Scott Sirota, CEO of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, requesting help with out-of-network bills, copayments, and deductibles for the Las Vegas shooting victims. Many of the people who were shot had traveled from other states, including California, Iowa, and Tennessee. California and some states protect consumers from such bills, bunch of commie liberals, but Nevada is not one of them, according to Sabrina Corlett, a research professor at Georgetown University's Center on Health Insurance Reforms. But Corlett said most insurers allow patients to request exceptions based on the circumstances. In this situation, I imagine most insurers are going to want to be compassionate and work something out. And then way on down in the story, there's the mention that, hey, taxpayers, too, will pick up much of the tab for the health care costs associated with gun violence because many patients are covered by Medicaid and Medicare, two government insurance programs. Then the hospitals will also be on the hook for some of the care of the patients who don't have insurance. For instance, at Sunrise Medical Hospital and Medical Center, the staff there treated more than 200 patients. Sunrise plans to file insurance claims and will, quote, be extremely sensitive to the financial status of patients when considering their out-of-pocket portions. If you happen to get shot and you're from California, you may also get some medical expense help from the California Victim Compensation Board. A GoFundMe account started by Clark County Commissioners raised $11 million so far. and many survivors have their own GoFundMe accounts, because this is ever so much better than having meaningful reform of our meaningless firearm laws and actually having a sane and humane healthcare, approach to healthcare in the United States. The story goes on to also describe Michael Castor, 41 years old, who lives in Indio, California. His GoFundMe account has raised about $26,000 so far. He's paralyzed from the waist down after a bullet lodged in his spine. For freedom! Doctors drained the blood from Castor's lungs. They removed some of the bullet fragments. And sitting in a hospital bed 11 days after the shooting, he said he didn't know how much of his care would be covered by his health insurance. He works in HR at a California hospital and has job-sponsored policy with Anthem Blue Cross. I've never really dealt with injury, he said. I don't want to be stuck with a bunch of bills. And then, of course, we've talked about the case of Tina Frost. She's making progress. She has actually managed to swipe a page on, she swiped past a page on an iPhone. Her GoFundMe page has raised somewhere around $580,000, which is a drop in the bucket as compared to what she will need in the way of care for the rest of her days. This, of course, doesn't matter a tinker's damn to Wayne LaPierre or Dana Lush or Fred Stinkpit or whatever his name is, all those creeps over there at the NRA. I mean, yeah, they'll say, oh, it was terrible they got shot. But freedom! We got freedom because we got guns! Isn't that special? Sickening is what it is. And in a judicial system whose primary purpose was something other than the torment of the poor people, it would be possible to sue the NRA and the gun manufacturers pretty nearly out of existence. But again, we're not a civilized country, and we do not have a judicial system whose focus is actually, you know, justice. So forget about that. So I just wanted to get that information out there. Somebody is at least trying to calculate this stuff. I've bookmarked the story, and maybe it might be worth trying to get somebody on to talk about it, because it's probably the underreported story of the century so far. You might be interested to know this is another one of those outgrowths of the servile confirmation of United States Attorney General Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III. 80 Republicans and 4 Democrats have signed a letter demanding that Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III treat environmental activists who do things like locking themselves down to pipelines and so forth as terrorists. In the letter, the question is posed as to whether or not the evil Keebler elf has enough power as AG to not only treat pipeline sabotage as a criminal act, but to treat it as terrorist activity. The letter goes on to say that interfering with a pipeline should be treated as an assault on the national security of the United States, and adds to the definition of terrorism any act that knowingly damages oil and gas infrastructure. Fascist much? Well, howdy do about that? Both of the servers briefly went south, so I don't know how much you know about what I was just talking about, but or how much of what I was talking about got out. But yes, Republicans want anybody who perform. Yeah, isn't this hilarious? On the one hand, if a religious goober tells a woman, let's say the religious goober is a pharmacist, and tells a woman that he will not fill her prescription for birth control, if the religious goober does that, it's an act of conscience. If, on the other hand, a group of people whose ancestors have been on the same land for something on the order of 15,000 years locks down to a pipeline or interferes with the construction of one, well, they're terrorists. They don't see only certain people in this country get to have the luxury of conscience. And if you're all work, if you get all teary and dewy and quivery and worked up about the precious little fetuses, well, you can have a conscience, especially if you're white or Velveeta King. And you can do pretty well, pretty much damned well anything you want to, including, up to and including, shooting at doctors who take care of the reproductive health care needs of women. If, on the other hand, like I said, you're somebody who locks down to a pipeline because you would like to have access to clean water and not be killed off and have the genocide that was started a couple of hundred years ago finally completed, terrorist. White guy shooting up a concert in Las Vegas? Not a terrorist. Crazy man. Not terrorist. You see the difference, right? Oh, for pity's sakes, hang on a minute. And stop. And restart. Okay, hopefully Ace's head-on.live stream will now be stable again. Don't know what the hell happened there. Whatever it was, it sucked. So just keep an eye on that. As the folks over at Think Progress, Alan Pike in particular, note, such a broad definition of terrorism could, if adopted, allow prosecutors to treat people who chain themselves to pipelines or construction equipment involved in pipeline projects as terrorists. The lawmakers are pressuring Sessions to include climate activists in a criminal category from which men like Charleston killer Dylan Roof and congressional baseball shooter James Hodgkinson are currently excluded by the legal system. Shoot 9 black people in the midst of their prayers? Not a terrorist! Peacefully chain yourself to a bulldozer? Terrorist. Mm-hmm. And this is, this is aimed at, among other things, aimed at those uppity Indians. Because, well, they may think that they're sovereign over their reservations, but yeah, not so much. Might be curious to know who those four Democrats were who signed the letter. Those were Representatives Philemon Vela, Henry Cuellar, Gene Green, and Vicente Gonzalez. All from where else? Texas. Mm-hmm. No surprise, they've had their pockets stuffed by the oil industry for eons. They're kind of like, oh, I guess you could say they are to the oil industry what Joe Manchin is to the coal industry. So just, maybe keep an ear to the ground over that one. Let's see, what else? Another little piece of waiting news. This story goes back a couple of days. It's the story of a little immigrant girl. She badly needed gallbladder surgery. This story comes from the Corpus Christi Caller Times. The little girl is named Rosa Maria Hernandez. She's undocumented. She's been living in the United States since she was 3 months old. Laredo, Texas. And she had an emergency transport to Driscoll Children's Hospital for gallbladder surgery this past Tuesday. She also has CP, cerebral palsy. Hey, guess what happened? Well, along with her on the ambulance ride was her U.S. citizen cousin, Aurora Cantu. And out on out near Freer, Texas, on U.S. 59, as it headed for Corpus Christi, at an interior immigration checkpoint, that just sounds, that's not a little bit Orwellian, the ambulance was stopped, in the middle of an emergency transport. Border Patrol agents stopped the ambulance, ascertained who was inside, to wit, a 10-year-old girl with cerebral palsy and a bad gallbladder, desperately in need of surgery. So the Border Patrol then followed her all the way to the hospital, 150 miles, and are waiting to grab her as soon as she is transportable and take her back to a country she has never known. Hence making a little bit inaccurate, take her back to. Take her to a country she has never known. According to an agency statement made available to the San Antonio Express News, due to the juvenile's medical condition, Border Patrol agents escorted her and her cousin to a Corpus Christi hospital where she could receive appropriate medical care. Per the immigration laws of the United States, once medically cleared, she will be processed accordingly. Her papers are not in order. They make it sound like only through the kind and beneficial actions of the Border Patrol was the ambulance able to get to the hospital. This is, of course, pure bullshit, because the ambulance was already on the way to the hospital. But now the Border Patrol are hovering over little, Jesus Christ, little Rosa Maria, waiting to deport her. So that, I don't know, maybe this kind of thing makes Donald Trump's withered old member jump like a snake in a microwave. Who knows? The cousin who accompanied her, Aurora Cantu, Well, she told the San Antonio paper, they told me that my aunt, the mother of the little girl, they told me that my aunt had two options. The first option was we could take her back to Mexico and arrange for a family member to get her. If my aunt didn't want to do that, the second option was that she could spend several weeks in a detention center. Is there anything left to support the idea that there's anything resembling greatness left in this country? Because the three stories that I've touched upon this evening so far would say, no, there's not. Agents of the federal government acting on the acting on instruction. You know, this would not have happened, for instance. This likely would not have happened under the Obama administration, but acting on this instruction from Department of Homeland Security and the Trump administration itself, Border Patrol agents are hovering over the recovering body of a 10-year-old little girl with CP, itching, just itching, to work out a little bit of America's national punishment fetish on that little child. Rod Kais is a spokes creep for Customs and Border Patrol, and he told the Corpus Christi Caller Times that the Border Patrol agents escorted the little girl to the hospital where she received appropriate medical care. Per the immigration laws of the United States, once medically cleared, she will be processed accordingly. The Mexican consulate has been advised of the situation by Laredo Sector Border Patrol. And you know, Republicans get off on this. They literally stopped an ambulance to get at a 10-year-old little girl with CP. And by the way, from the, we can add this. Remember, please, for anyone who's still out there thinking that there's something special or heroic or upstanding or about John Kelly. It's worth remembering that when he was Secretary of Homeland Security, he ordered federal agents to deport undocumented family members if those undocumented family members try to claim their children when they're in government custody. Stay classy, America. Customs and Border Patrol, ICE agents have for instance, tormented a woman with a brain tumor. She hemorrhaged and collapsed when she was in immigration detention. So they took her to a Fort Worth hospital and did surgery on her. And after she was stable from her surgery, they stuck her back in the detention center. But because the United States is a merciful nation, she was let out on bail. Then there's the story of from last May of Oscar and Irma Sanchez. They were trying to get their sick son to the same hospital that Rosa was taken to. Border Patrol agents shadowed them to the hospital too. And then both parents were snatched up by Border Patrol to be booked and fingerprinted. Then back last June, according to the same story, there was Wendy Armendariz, an undocumented mama, living, of course, in Texas. Border Patrol stopped her from accompanying her son, a United States citizen, who was born with a horrible case of spina bifida. They prevented her from traveling to Driscoll from Brownsville, Texas. There is an update to this story. This past Wednesday, Customs and Border Protection stuck 10-year-old Rosa Maria Hernandez, having survived her gallbladder surgery and still suffering, as she will, living with the effects of cerebral palsy. They stuffed her in a San Antonio children's shelter. Instead of letting her go home to heal with her family. Her lawyer, she has a lawyer, Leticia Gonzalez, talking to the San Antonio Express News, said that Rosa Maria Hernandez needs follow-up medical care, but she will not be allowed to go home to her family, even though there is absolutely nothing wrong with the parenting provided for her by that family. They're refusing to allow this cerebral palsy child to be released to her family. They're insisting on taking her into the children's home, which is a quasi-detention center. Jesus Christ, this country. This sick, sick country. Laurel says, make no mistake, we are witnessing the death of a nation. Can't hide from these kinds of things. Oh, I know. It'd be a lot more fun to talk about the Hillary and the PP dossier, because it's got the American political establishment positively all a titter. Yeah. But this stories like this seem far more maybe not important to the chattering class, but far more important on a basic human level. We're right up against the top of the hour. Here endeth the filibobster. And big thanks going out. Big thanks going out to Roderick. Thank you very kindly. Our fundraising goal is down to either $150 or $300, depending on if we're talking about finishing out tonight. Let's just talk about finishing October tonight so we can have a fundraising-free Morin Monday Halloween. Okay, so we're down to $300 to go. Thank you, Roderick. Thank you very, very kindly. It was much appreciated. So now one at 300, three at 100, two at 150, four at 75, eight at 3750. Then my head starts hurting. Marty notes, Border Patrol stops an ambulance on its way to a hospital. How very Israeli of the Border Patrol agents. Todd, meanwhile, ICE Border Patrol equals sick fucks. News Ninja Gene just wants the link. It's easier if you can navigate there. Go to Think Progress, thinkprogress.org, Gene. The headline is, the Trump administration may soon deport this 10-year-old girl with cerebral palsy. Heartbreaking. Thinkprogress.org. Esther U. C. Lee is the author of the story. Meanwhile, Steve in New York says, subject line, the girl with CP. I'm so sick of hearing about following the laws of this country. Let's remember something. I seem to remember a group of Mormon nut jobs occupying a national park building and having all number of right-wing weirdos herald them as heroes. Law be damned. I seem to remember people coming from far and yon to protect them and join their resistance. Again, so much for the laws of this country. I will confess I've owned a gun. I can't imagine myself ever owning one. However, it is times like this that I could see myself taking up arms to go defend this girl from the real jackbooted thugs destroying this country. But you wouldn't defend her, Steve. You need to understand that. There'd be nothing left, and they'd still get the girl. That approach, sadly, won't work. But I understand the frustration. Subject line, greatness, whiteness. Keith writes in, Bob, this is not making Merca great again, just striving to make it more and more white. The greatness of this country is fading bit by bit every day. These cases show the lack of concern, care, or just basic decency. Where does it stop? I wish I could tell you. But I can tell you this much, it does not stop unless we unify to stop it. There's the key to that lock, unity. There are a whole lot more people in this country that support people like little Rosa Maria than there are people who want to see her just dropped bootless into a country that she doesn't know, and for all we know would mean certain death for her. We outnumber them. It's just that the political game is rigged so that they remain in power. Okay? So it's time to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Jump right in if you want. If you've never participated before, send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, and he'll get you into the group. We'll take a little break and get everything sort of rebooted. And see what people want to discuss this evening. And in the meantime, you can always reach me via Twitter at Bob Kincaid, and on Facebook, Bob Kincaid, and of course email. As you can see from what I've been sharing, email comes into bobkincaid@gmail.com. So let's see what's going on. We'll fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. And, well, if you've got something that's absolutely a bee in your bonnet or a burr under your saddle, share it. I've got an observation about a TV program I watched last night. Because, well, yeah, that's me, Bob Kincaid, TV critic. Okay? We'll be back. I'm Bob.
Mexican, live in the house where I was born. That's fine, don't worry me none. I got nothing against them Mexicans. I watch them work like the work of bees, building them roads, chopping down trees, doing a job my kind won't. Sometimes they smile, most times they don't. Across the borderline, there's a dream to a better life, it would seem. They have to come, make some money, and send it home. In the trailer trucks, in the minivans, pack it like a sardine in a sardine can. Oh, now, mama, mama, let the candles burn. In the boiling heat of a Texas sun, left to die and her down go about a half of a mile from Mexico. You drive the truck, boy, that's the deal. You just a guy behind a wheel. Get the money all you can. Don't worry about them Mexicans. Oh, now, mama, mama, leave the candles burn for one day.
That song always gives me chills. Phil Lee, name of the song is 25 Mexicans. It is 9 minutes past the hour on this Friday on the front porch, the 27th day of October 2017. And let's check in with the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable and see what's going on with Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob. How the hell are you?
I'm here, you know, Agnes isn't, so that means that things are slowly degrading into hell, but, you know, I guess I'll manage.
Here you got car problems.
Yeah, that's fun. I heard this big roaring in the rear end, and that, you know, there aren't any good unknown noises that ever come out of an automobile. So it turns out it's bearings. Rear wheel.
Bearings of both wheels?
Yeah, bearing, yeah. Yep.
You got disc brakes on your rear wheels?
Yep.
Oh, piece of cake. If you were my neighbor, you could just pull it in here on the man cave, put it up on jack stands and jerk them off and go down to Napa and get some new bearings. And
oh, no, we wouldn't get them at Napa. No.
Why not?
Yeah, I priced them at Napa.
We go to AutoZone or O'Reilly's.
I actually found them at a website called 1A Auto.
Oh, and so you got a mechanic that's going to put them in. You're going to order the bearings.
I'm going to order the bearings, and then I'm going to take them to. I'll take them to the garage. But Napa wanted $250 a pop. I've got the pair here for $100. So that's the first part of it, and then there'll be about $200 in labor. I hope it's $200.
Not like the good old days. I used to pack my bearings all the time.
Now this is, you know, this is a whole assembly. And
the whole wheel assembly?
No. It's just it's the bearing and hub assembly.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, because it's
the rotor, the whole works.
No, not the rotor or anything. This is just the hub and the bearing.
Oh, okay.
But you know, that's a fun thing.
How do you like my new avatar?
What is that? An old Elway shirt?
No.
Kaepernick?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a 7 with a raised fist.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, I was missing some of the detail there. It looked like at a distance, it looks like it's been through the laundry. You know how when you put those things through the laundry, the decal can get a little crackly and stuff. No, that's really cool. I like that.
Well, I just got it in the mail yesterday.
No, I like that a lot.
I'm going to wear it when I go out to the store. Maybe I'll get some double Xer to come up and give me some shit about it. There's a big article in the paper the other day that double Xers flooded our local state senator and assemblyman's town hall trying to promote the state of Jefferson again.
Oh, God. No, they're not. Well, they're not going to go away. It's just facts.
I know. Well, you see that there's a little decals. You know, there's dead giveaways. You know, like Trump bumper stickers. If you see a Trump bumper sticker, look for a double Xer sticker on the same vehicle.
Well, let's see. Okay. So Clarity is trying to reach me. Clarity, you need to send a contact request to Sparky Dunk on Skype, and then Sparky will get you into the group.
Oh, I'll add him. I'll add him. No problem if I can find him on contacts here.
So, you know, you've got. I mean, I guess it's kind of in a way. It's sort of in a. Well, not in a way, but in a misery loves company kind of way. I guess it's refreshing to know that, you know, even California has its booger eaters.
Yeah, we got them.
Her.
But other news, I'm sure glad I got Grady the shop dog.
You still have or no? What?
No, I have Grady the shop dog. I'll be babysitting him for a while.
Oh, okay. So
but he discovered that we got a rat invasion again.
Oh no!
So I had to break out the rat motel electrocution chamber. I've got two in that. I got one in a snap trap last night.
Retrocution, we're back to that, yes.
Mm-hmm. I take the dog on patrol at night. I put up a new security light the other day. I went out and played electrician again. Something I'm not supposed to do, being retired and all that stuff.
Oh, really? Is there a ban?
Well, I'm not supposed to do electrical work. Go out for money anyway.
But, like, say, you know, one of these days when we solarize the Horn Studio and stuff, you're not doing it for money. We're just compensating your costs. If, like, we fly you out here and and, you know, give you awesome barbecue every day and thing, and, you know, ice cold beer and things like that, right?
Right. I didn't get in trouble for flying to New York and doing that. Although I did one run into one union member in a local Lowe's out there because I had my union jacket on.
Well, no.
He goes, what are you doing in New York?
Get out of here. You ain't supposed to be here. Speaking of things electrical, it was entirely by happenstance. I walked into a little outdoor store over in Fayetteville, and there's a brand, and you know, maybe look it up after the program. Tell me what you think. There's a brand of solar-powered backup battery packages, you know, thingies, called Goal Zero. And they've got a thing. Their biggest line is called the Yeti. And
Goal Zero.
GOALZERO. And they're portable. But the thing is, as long as you get one that's the traditional lead acid battery, it's chainable to other deep cycle marine batteries. And even though it's pricey as hell, theoretically we could take this studio, not the whole house, but we could take the studio off the grid completely unless I'm just misreading all of this, for a significantly lower amount. And even pack it up when we needed to and go and solar power, like, remote broadcasts and things like that. It was actually kind of exciting to see.
$1,500?
Oh, by the time you add in the portable solar panels, it gets worse, but yeah.
That's what I'm looking at right now.
But the neat thing is it could also serve as emergency non-hydrocarbon power supply in, you know, things like derechos, and because this is the anniversary of Superstorm Sandy, when we were out of power for a week 5 years ago. And anybody who's a longtime listener to this program knows that every so often we just go off the air for a week because our antiquated coal-fired power grid isn't worth it.
So for about $2,500, you could do this.
They had some packages, and I couldn't navigate back to it, but they had one that was like, yeah, four grand, something like that, because it was like six solar panels, and they're portable solar panels, too, which is really cool, and they're chainable.
Oh, of course.
And I looked at the lithium-ion battery one, but apparently the lifespan on a lithium ion battery is significantly lower than it is with lead acid batteries still. That's one of those battery technology limitations.
Mm-hmm.
But the simplicity of that is such that, you know, everything that's going on in this studio is plugged into a wall outlet anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we could just, you know, run everything into that and have the solar panels charging it. And
it's got three outlets on it.
Yeah. And basically, this entire studio is running on one breaker. So that tells me that we might be able to pull it off with a gizmo like that.
Oh, yeah. No problemo.
Oh, by the way, we got a note from Jason who says, rats are eating all of my pomegranates. I wonder if an electric rat zapper is the weapon to use. Traps get the other innocent critters, raccoons, foxes, possums, house cats, jackrabbits, and so forth. So,
Well, I have the... I'll tell them the exact model to get.
Okay.
I got it at my local tractor supply. It's a Victor electronic rat trap. They're about $50, and it holds, runs on C batteries, and it advertises it'll kill up to 50 rats. And you just smear some peanut butter through the back. It's got holes on the back. Smear peanut butter through the back. Turn it on. And it's got a little light on top of it. And it'll blink when it's killed a rat. But the last two I got, one was up on a cross bracing up here in the ceiling. It's like their little rat runway up there. Well, I set the hotel up there, and I come in and I looked up and I seen the tail hanging down below the bracing, so I knew I got him. And then I just take him out and heave him into the pasture for buzzard food.
Well, you know, that's a lot less complicated than, like, humane trapping them and then turning them over to PETA, who could drive up with one of their poison gas execution vans and do it that way. Jesus, those people.
Yeah, well, Grady can smell them out. I found that out.
Well, that may make things even more interesting.
We went on patrol last night, and he wouldn't come in. I come out here, and he's standing at the big door on the east side, just listening. And so I go in, turn on the light. Here's the rat trap was up on a brace on the wall, snap trap, and it'd come down. And he evidently didn't kill him right off, and it dragged him across the floor. And Grady got a hold of him and gave him one quick bite, and that was it.
This is rapidly approaching a reality radio program, Sparky.
Well, that's my life out here. I mean, I've been trimming up the volunteer pomegranate bushes. I just cut them off at the ground because they didn't produce hardly any pomegranates.
Well, we managed to protect our lone volunteer tomato plant, Agnes did, not we, against a recent frost. So I might get, you know, before Christmas or maybe Thanksgiving, I might get one ripe tomato.
We were getting ripe tomatoes up to last Thanksgiving last year, I think.
Yeah, but dude, this is West Virginia, okay?
I know, we have a different season now. Hell, it's 88 degrees today. It was 94 the other day.
Oh, it got up into the 80s here today. But the thing is, it's getting down into the high 30s at night. This is pneumonia weather. Well, let's check in with the rest of the crowd. By the way, you've got Jason. This is not Jay Cruz and Jason. This is different Jason. You got Jason intrigued. He said, "Cool, never seen that. You want to try it? I'm reluctant to use poison. Buzzards pick up the poisoned rats, and that's bad." So, thanks, Jason. Thanks, Sparky.
They enter and they don't come out.
Yeah, the rat rotel. No, that's disgusting. Rotel is a food thing. Never mind. And I've got a big crock pot of the chili going for the weekend, so that'll keep me going. Billable Rick, what's happening? Okay, Billable Rick must be away. What's happening with Clarity?
Oh, I was just thinking before you finished the story about the bearings that you'd sent Agnes out to a U-Pullet place to save you a couple extra dollars rather than go to, you know, the local auto rip-off hardware store.
I'd love to do that, but the local auto parts places are rip-offs, but I did find them I don't think I could get them cheaper at a U-Pullet.
Yeah.
$100 for the bear.
Well, and you said $250 each?
At Napa, yeah. I mean, that's like bearings for a freaking race car.
Well, that reminds me of, you know, how these shops run now. You see the mechanics and they're wearing, you know, basically a suit, you know, because everything's all covered over and sealed up on these cars, so they very seldom get messy, you know. And they want $85 or $90 an hour for shop time.
Yeah. I think the garage I'm using charges $100 an hour.
Yeah.
So I'm figuring that's probably 2 hours worth of work. No, I had the tires rotated, and I was having the tires rotated and the oil changed, and I said, you know, by the way, there's a roaring back there, and they said, let me look at the bearings. So, there we go.
Probably. Well, is that your pothole infrastructure just wearing things out faster?
Probably. Yeah, there's an element of that, without a doubt. Yeah, but it's also an all-wheel drive vehicle, so. I think there's a little bit more wear and tear goes with that too.
Yeah. I just remember when I was on the road back in the 80s, the Midwestern roads, I mean, it just shook the hell out of our van. You know, we were worried about our equipment working at the next gig because the roads were so rough as compared to what they're mostly like here, you know, at least on the interstate. I mean, some of the roads, you get down around John Day and stuff. Yeah, they're older asphalt roads, and they're not quite as smooth, but nothing compared to what I encountered, you know, in South Dakota, you know, in Wisconsin. Minnesota had some awful potholes. But I guess that's de rigueur in West Virginia, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are we've got potholes that have potholes. and of course, our revenues are actually, this is crazy. You know, you can't just sit here and lie. There has been an uptick in coal production. And of course that was because the coal industry was engaged in a giant, if we enforced the Sherman Antitrust Act, people would be in jail. But what they did is they said, Obama's got a war on coal. And then they started shutting down coal mines in order to influence the political outcome of the election, right? So now they've ramped production back up. Middle Ridge of Coal River Mountain is just gone now. And this after oodles and oodles and oodles of well-meaning articles from our side of the political spectrum saying, coal is over, coal is dead. No, it's not. So when they get out on the road, they tear the roads all to shit. And if production is down, that means revenues are down from the teeny tiny little amount of money that they pay in taxes. And so the potholes don't get fixed. Get this. And I guess I'm telling tales out of school, but this just blew my mind. I heard about a school, a K-8 school. And they're selling lottery tickets, and I'm sure they're giving away guns or something like that. But the lottery tickets are $10 a piece, and they're doing it to raise $10,000 for basic revenue for the school because the school is not adequately funded by the school board. They're not raising it like for a new playground or to send the children on a bus trip to Washington, D.C. to see the Constitution or anything. That kind of, you know, that's the kind of thing schools do fundraisers for, right? No, they're raising it for, you know, the power bill, the gas bill. And of course, it's not a news story. But I was like, God damn, really? And yeah, really. So yeah, it goes from bad to worse here. And of course, we're a week now, Clarity, everybody. We're a week into a giant conflagration at a former tool factory in Parkersburg, West Virginia.
Oh, it's still burning?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And there's more and more details coming out. The company that it may, it's they say that they warehouse recyclables, but what it is it's a shell company, apparently, from what I can find out. It's a shell company for EI DuPont de Nemours.
Oh my God.
And they've been warehousing 40 years worth of shit that they haven't been able to quietly bury somewhere or dump in the Ohio River.
PCBs, DDT, all for you, all for me.
Yeah, benzene, toluene, it's a party.
Oh, yes. Industrial solvents are us.
There are photographs. Libby, in fact, who listens to this program, Libby sent them to me earlier today. there are the sky over Parkersburg, West Virginia, has been blacked out. And there's no coverage. And people still don't know, you know, governmental officials still don't know what was in the warehouses. And but it turns out they've got a long history of violations, which of course were not particularly pursued or enforced, because that doesn't contribute to us being an open for business kind of state. The Wood County, West Virginia, is being financially ruined. It took, like I said last week, it took 3 days to find, or earlier this week, it took 3 days to find Jim Justice to get him to declare a disaster area. It's owned by Intercontinental Export Import Inc.
A shell company of the shell of the shell.
Right.
Company, yes. Shifty Incorporated. As my uncle used to refer to.
Yeah, so Intercontinental Export Import bought products from DuPont's Washington Works plant, and they were storing those products at the warehouse.
Temporary storage. Until the laws are changed, or we can dispose of them in a much more economical way, so to speak.
I mean, I love this. I don't love it, but this sentence, records that might have indicated what was in the warehouse were destroyed in the fire. But officials are looking for electronic records that can help. Possible items that might have been in the warehouse include PVC, nylon, carbon black, titanium dioxide, fiberglass, formaldehyde, Teflon, and styrene. And all IEI had was an outdated material sheet, data sheet, of stuff that they had stored there at one time or another.
West Virginia's a right to not know state.
Exactly. And a right to not breathe, neither, because the ash has been found as far as 40 miles away.
Oh, with that much heat? If it's burned that long, it's going up into the wind currents, and it can be, 40, 50, 60, 100 miles.
Yeah, and cold comfort. Air quality testing found that although there were visible soot particles, there were no detectable levels of chemicals in the smoke.
Oh, so it's a perfect incinerator.
Yeah.
Except for the fly ash.
Schools have been closed. The ACT test for aspiring college students tomorrow has been rescheduled.
Tomorrow has been delayed until further notice.
Yeah, no kidding.
God. Oh, dark humor today, Bob.
Well, I mean, when Parkersburg's covered by smoke, it's kind of hard for the humor to be bright now, isn't it?
Well, we could call it Breitbart. They could put a spin on it and make it not bright and shiny, you know, maggoty.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. No, I mean, no. Lawrence Messina, Communications Director for the West Virginia Fire Department of Military Affairs and Public Safety, told the Gazette Mail that when the agency inspected the warehouse in 2008, anybody here quick on the cipher? Oh, that's 9 years ago. The sprinkler system was working then. We don't know what the sprinkler system status is today. Melted.
Defunct.
It's a sprinkler system that's pining for the fjords.
Ersatz ironclad meltdown.
In 2011 and 2012, the West Virginia DEP, that would be 6 and 5 years ago, respectively, visited the warehouse. They found the same kind of problems all over again. No groundwater protection plan, and they ordered $61,000 in fines against the warehouse, but nothing changed.
They probably didn't pay it.
My... it's
DEP, that stands for denying extra pollution, right?
Well, no, Department of Environmental Permitting.
Perverting. Okay, yeah. I got you.
And there's, I mean, there are some stunning photos on Imgur, I-M-G-U-R, you know, the photo website. There are some stunning photos of this huge column of black smoke rising into the air and then just being blown across the Ohio River.
Into Kentucky, right?
No, into Ohio.
Into Ohio?
Yeah. I mean, it's visible. It's visible by, you know, commercial aircraft flying around. You know, one of those can't miss it kind of things. DuPont spokesperson says the cloud is harmless. This, of course, is a DuPont spokesperson who does not have to breathe the shit and doesn't live anywhere near the shit.
And probably is just typing up the facts as he makes them up.
Well, I mean, it's harmless where he is.
Well, if it's black, you know it's shit.
Yeah, even if it doesn't have all the residual parts per million, which those chemicals in parts per million are toxic. I'm sure they measured it. You know, they threw out a butterfly net, you know, and then soaked it in some solvent and said, "Oh well, there's nothing here."
And by the way, from you were talking about dark humor. Ron and Raleigh just wrote in and said, "Shoot, somebody ought to call the EPA." Wait a minute.
Yeah, get Pruitt on that.
Yeah, Scott Pruitt will get right on that.
He's just busy shoveling clean coal right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll get a man on that right quick. Quick as he's done building his Maxwell Smart secret phone booth for $25,000.
Oh, that's right. He's got sensitive ears.
Well, and it came from IKEA, so, you know, some assembly required. Oh, and meanwhile, from the, we haven't given Asa a cowbell in a while. Back to the bearings issue. Asa wants to know, is this the Bentley GT or the Maybach that's having bearing troubles? No. This is the Bugatti Veyron. Maybach.
Brady the shop dog just turned into an excavator.
Oh yeah, found something to dig at, did he?
Yeah, right outside the shop door. He's digging this big old giant hole. Smells like gopher, a mole or something.
Oh lovely, just pray God he didn't eat one. I don't want to ruin anybody's supper, but I've seen what happens when a Labrador retriever eats a dead groundhog and then sends it back up inside out. It ain't nice. Okay, we got one of these for Earther, too. If it's harmless smoke, why are you wearing that yellow CDC hazmat suit, sir? I know. Hey, by the way, just because I try to, you know, some current event stuff, who here knew there was a king of China? Anybody? Bueller?
There used to be. Oh, no, there was an emperor.
Yeah, the son of heaven.
You mean the restaurant that serves dim sum? Dim sum?
Oh, is that the king of China there?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, a restaurant.
Yeah. No, Kaiser Kumquat said that his dear friend, Xi Jinping, who just completed a stunning consolidation of power at the Party Congress, he said, "Well, most people think he's the king of China, but he's not. He's the president of China. And we have a fabulous relationship because we're both presidents." I saw that last night on our friend Beth's Facebook page. And I immediately wrote back and said, "Is this real?" And of course, she kindly provided the link. And you know,
of course, it's real, Bob.
I picked a really, really shitty time to quit drinking. Because, I mean, that's swirly straw in the tequila bottle material. The King of China. Queen of England, yeah. Queen of Norway, King of China, whatever.
He's getting ready to go to Asia. Just think of the mess he's going to make.
I was just going to say, quitting drinking really lowers your tolerance to irony.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, I gave up the Thorazine darts and can't smoke the marijuanas, and I'm retired from the LSD. I can't even stand caffeine, so cocaine's out. Cocaine and meth are out of the question.
Nah, yeah.
I'm sort of adrift here, y'all.
Yeah.
I just think the poor son of a bitch that has to give him the cultural information lecture to go to a foreign country. Like when you're in the service and you go to a foreign country, you know, like as soon as you get off the plane in Thailand, the first thing you do is go to a cultural information briefing before you even go to work.
Yeah, to make sure that you don't insult the entire country just trying to cross the street.
Yeah, they're doing something stupid, you know, like disrespect the king of Thailand had a king.
Right.
Probably still have a king, but they're now a military dictatorship.
They probably don't have the first edition of Presidential Narcissism for Dummies.
Oh, no, I can just imagine the briefing for Tangerine Tiberius at, say, you know, going to China. Well, sir, don't call him the King of China anymore. I'll call him whatever I want to. We're dear friends. He loves my chocolate cake.
Or Hop Sing.
No, this ain't Bonanza. We got a right to start a little fight. Bonanza! No. That really was the lyric to that. There was a lyric to that song. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And that was it.
I mean, I grew up with that. Before you were born, I was watching Bonanza.
With that noted American, Lorne Greene.
Yeah.
Who apparently was the great-grandfather of Red Greene, as far... No, he was really Canadian, but...
Red Greene,
yeah.
Well, I to change the subject, I've been playing primary care lottery. I went 2 weeks waiting to hear back from the local hospital clinic if they could take me on. And I got a call from medical records yesterday saying that I'm not within the scope of their practice. Which I'm not sure what part of me doesn't scope out.
I'm guessing maybe the trans part.
I'm thinking that thusly too, since it's a Catholic place, and that just gives them their religious right to, you know, refer.
Yeah, I mean, they treat some people who wear dresses, but that's either cisgendered females or Roman Catholic priests.
Oh, so yeah, that's right. So if I was in the priesthood, I could cross dress.
Absolutely. I mean, you could show up in a stunning cocktail frock as long as you've got the little white collar. You might want to try that. I don't know.
This is what I had to do. I got a list. I called the insurance company twice. I got a list of providers that they thought were still taking, and one of them wasn't even at the clinic that they gave me the number for, and the other one, I couldn't get through. I got a voicemail. They went through their email address one time, email us, and we'll get back to you, blah, blah, blah. And then they gave me a couple from the Tri-Cities, which is the next closest place, and neither one of them took the insurance. So I called my congressman's secretary and ask her what she'd do. And she said, well, I mentioned that I go to Providence in Walla Walla, which is about an hour east of here, for my sleep doctor. And she said, well, why don't you call them and see if they have a family practice out of that clinic, and if they're taking the insurance. So I did, and I got through, and the first answer I got was not taking anybody for appointments until February. That was as soon as they could get me in. And then I said, well, I would consider a nurse practitioner. They said, oh, well, we can get you in the 27th of December. And so I called the insurance company back and got a different person. And they said, not sure if they take it, even though they told me at the clinic they were taking it, the Medicare Plus. And so anyway, she went on her screen and she couldn't find it first. And I said, well, they changed the address. And I gave her the address and she said, okay. Oh, no, they're not on our list of preferred providers. So you'd have to pay out of network, blah, blah, blah. Then they said, I said, well, I have a name. Actually, they have someone assigned there. And she says, well, let me search for it that way. And then she said, oh, I think so, but do you have a phone number so I can call them and confirm, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, then she put me on hold for about 10 minutes, called me back, said I couldn't get through to them, but I'll get back to you by Tuesday.
That was 3 days ago.
Well, after 2 weeks, 3 days is fine. I can live with that. But I was going to call in yesterday to commiserate that I couldn't get a primary care, knowing that you had a worse story of, you know, about your condition and everything.
Well, I mean, I got one. And in fact, you're just living in the wrong state, because there's signs all over the place that my little DACA box is now accepting patients.
Oh.
And you can go down there and you can get your bum knee prayed and laid hands on, even. And they don't even charge extra. I mean, it just goes with the billing.
Thoughts and prayers.
Free thoughts and prayers with every treatment.
Well, yeah, I don't think that's on the Oregon Health Plan. So you are a step above, closer to heaven, Bob.
And they've opened up window shopping. I didn't know it was called that, but it is, at healthcare.gov. So I'm going to go window shopping for healthcare, and then all the blood will drain out of my face, and I'll realize that I'm never going to get healthcare.
So you get to watch them make sure they put on their gloves.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So apparently, thanks to the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, premiums have gone up something on the order of 34% around here.
Oh, so they're open for business now.
Yeah. Well.
Well, you know, you gotta have gloves to be accredited. That's, you know, that's the fine line with, you know, some of these
right
sketchy doctors. My friend had a doctor at the VA that shook hands with every patient when he came in, and gave him a prostate exam, you know, but didn't wash his hands before he went in to the next patient.
Well, I told you about the surgeon that we were supposed to consult with, and while I was sitting in the office, Agnes went to the restroom and just found a bunch of used medical equipment just sort of laying in the sink.
Ick.
Yeah, it's a little on the icky side of things. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously they had someone else to take microbiology when they were going through med school for them.
And this is one of the most respected surgeons in Charleston.
Well, you mean he's faster with a saw than anybody
else?
Well,
I don't know. I mean, he could apparently afford a really big jar of leeches.
Natural medicine.
What you need is a proper bleeding there, Bob.
Now, I interned with my father, who's a barber. And he did a lot of good cuts.
Theodoric, medieval barber.
He's good at sharpening a blade, and you gotta have a sharp blade to be a good sergeant.
Yeah, or sergeant. Yes. Like, as we've noted before, you do that very well. Well, I mean, is Rick still on the phone or SOL?
He left a text says, "Be right back, birthday cake time for me."
Oh, it's Rick's birthday. Yes, happy birthday.
That was at a quarter after. I don't know what time it is now.
Wait, is it Rick's birthday? I know it's Kelly's birthday.
Well, that's what the message says for me.
But
I know is he sent me a message. He was going to be around.
Okay, well that's fine.
So who else's birthday is it?
Kelly. Who is here in West Virginia. Kelly is Ron in the far, not at all frozen north's sister.
Oh, it's a family.
And yeah. she's a magnificent cook and a brilliant artist.
Oh, so you know her personally?
Not personally, but we've corresponded and I've seen her work and God knows I've seen the food porn pictures.
Oh, okay.
She put up a picture of some seasoned sea bass the other night that just made me weep.
Oh, yeah, I miss that. I miss that a lot. I worked in a fish house for 7 years.
Ooh.
And, we had usually between 20 and 30 different fish on our fresh list.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was, big place. I mean, we'd serve between 1,000 and 1,500 covers on a Saturday.
Was this like over around Portland or Seattle or something?
Oh, no, this was in Berkeley.
Oh.
When I lived in the Bay Area.
Is it still a going concern?
Oh, yeah, it's part of the McCormick's chain.
Maybe we should give them a free plug.
No, because, don't get me started about what happened to me there.
Okay.
Because they were going through they might even still be going through discrimination cases, service, employment, as far as racism and stuff. And I got caught in the middle of some stuff, and it rubbed off on me, which wasn't fair. But anyway. One day I had a table that they sat in the blacks only section.
Wait, there was a what?
Well, it wasn't official, Bob. That's just it. It was how would you say it? It was covert.
It was de facto and not de jure?
Yeah. And I guess the segregation was not blatant enough, really, that... it was blatant to us.
Yeah, well, I mean, so the people being seated there didn't look around and go, hey, where's all the white people? Or notice that, hey, why are all the white people over there and we're over here?
Well, it pretty much started that way, and it got worse and worse to the point where the dad got it from the table and threatened to kick my ass.
Whoa.
Because somehow it was, I had seated them and, they were one of the first tables in the restaurant and they hadn't cut bread for dinner, so the service wasn't fast enough. And, just one thing after another. And then when the guy got up and threatened to assault me, I picked up a chair to protect myself because he was my senior by about 40 pounds and about 6 inches. And, anyway, I got pegged that I was a troublemaker, and then I had an incident with a busboy who was stealing china out of my section, rather than going back to the dishwasher to get it, and I called him a lazy, blah blah blah, and that was enough to get me fired. So.
Okay, no free product placement then.
No, I was just promoting for, a healthy diet of fish with not too much radiation in it. That's all I was advocating.
Well, and I just got a note from Randy in PA, said a lot of fish nowadays is full of plastic microbeads.
Well,
and they don't even charge extra for it.
That's one good thing about our water system here in Hermiston is we get groundwater, so we're not filtering microbeads out of the river yet.
And I read a little bit about those things. Those are creepy, microbeads.
Well, they are because they start replacing, you know, your body starts thinking it's connective tissue. Yeah. So it starts putting it in non-vascular tissue. And, it's going to be a certain carcinogen eventually.
And Kelly sent along thanks for the birthday greeting. She said it's not easy being green or turning 68. I'm still 35 in my mind. And you know that I'm learning the truth of that. My dad was like that up in his late 70s, up in his 80s. He said, "I go to shave and I'm like, what happened to my face? I'm still, because inside, you know, you're still 18."
Yeah, Kelly, I have to be reminded of that constantly. That even though I kind of want to mix it up with some of these young bucks and stuff, it's, you know, I'm a threat to my own personal safety, you know, when I think I can, you know, get in these guys' face. And luckily I've, since this came to me before I have. But yes, I was reminded that you're not a kid anymore, even though you still, you know, have a good voice and you still play mean sax. You're not going to measure up on the basketball court and other places where you're doing, you know, one-on-one. But I know what you mean. I feel like I'm in my 30s.
Hey, Sparky.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, you're an NFL fan. What did you think of the Houston Texans owner's remark?
I thought it sucked.
What a dick, you know?
I know their star receiver walked out today because of it.
And they're thinking of the team said they're not done responding yet. Just for those who don't know, the owner of the Houston Texans is one
McNair.
Yeah, McNair. John McNair.
Something like that. All I know is his last name. He's an oil billionaire.
Yeah.
Cool.
And he said that in because he was pissed off about the players kneeling for the national anthem, he said, "We can't have the inmates running the prison." You know, what a dumbass. He just referred to his own team as a goddamn prison.
It's plantation. It's not a prison. It's a plantation. And if they run away, you know, you send them out, you bring them back, and you give them a good whipping. That's what they're talking about. You know, and when they speak out, they're going off the plantation by speaking out, even if they don't say anything.
He has apologized for his comments, though.
You mean he didn't complain that he was taken out of context? The out of context argument's usually the one they make.
Probably. I think he said that at the owner's meeting. Somehow it got out.
Thoughts and prayers, y'all.
Last week.
Well, happy birthday, Rick.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. It is your birthday?
Tomorrow, actually, yeah. Well,
a very happy one to you.
Well, thank you. I turn the double nickel tomorrow.
Oh, you're just a few months ahead of me.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yep, so.
And 11 years behind me.
Yeah, well, there you go. You had yours, what, the 19th, Sparky, or something like that?
Yeah, it was just another day.
I know. Just, yes,
it's
I'm going to.
Day on the calendar, you say, oh, I'm. It's my birthday.
There you go. Yeah, I'm gonna go to a musical festival on Sunday.
Any old rock stars playing?
Yeah, well, the big ones are the B-52s, the, let's see here, Dan Auerbach, I think, of the Black Keys, okay? He's playing. The Steel Pulse is playing. The Growlers are playing. Have you heard of any of these bands or not, y'all?
Well, the Black Keys, yeah. The Growlers, Keys, not so much.
Just the B-52s.
Okay. The Butthole Surfers are playing. Girl Talk, Julian Casablancas and the Voids, Alice Glass, Beth Ditto, yeah. Girl Pool, Bad Brains, Frankie Cosmos, Ghetto Boys, Hepcat, Beach Fossils,
Is Burnt Toast is Burnt Toast not on the lineup?
No, but Froggy's Groovies are, and the Pastels are on there. So a lot of these bands I haven't heard of, actually. So
yeah, me either.
I've got some homework to do as far as which ones I want to watch.
Well, you're generating jealousy. Arthur said, yeah. "Oh, great, he's eating cake too. Just rub it in, Rick." He said, "I heard the munchy sound at first, Bob. I heard it."
It was a big, fat chocolate cake, the best piece of chocolate cake you've ever seen.
It was the best chocolate cake. I had two pieces and three scoops.
We flattened raca, and then we put frosting on it.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess tomorrow I'll just kind of hang out at home and, you know, watch some football and, you know, what have you. So, and then Sunday is the big day for the festival, like from noon till midnight it goes. And I may, it's one of those festivals where they encourage costumes, so I may wear my pirate outfit, you know?
Well, you know, the B-52s are getting on in years. We'll be watching.
Oh, Al Stewart came out with another show closer to home that I may go to instead of the one down in San Juan, like in January. So should I go to the one in November, or should I give him a couple extra months of life?
Give him a couple more months. I mean, I still have hopes of someday seeing him, but, you know.
Okay. Well, I can send you the information, Bob. It's at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills.
And you've already got the tickets, right?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Not yet. I haven't gotten paid, so I can't get the tickets quite yet. So,
by the way, a note coming in from Brother Deacon Asa. Oh, my God, the Butthole Surfers are still around, Rick? What a blast from the past.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, that's good that somebody's heard of them.
Oh, I'd heard of those. I'd heard of. It was, you know, Bucket of Snakes I'd never heard of.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They probably had hemorrhoid surgery, though.
There you go.
Just a little jingle, Clarity.
Oh, there you go.
Sorry.
That was too easy.
Gosh.
That was already above the rim. Don't say rim.
LSU and Crimson Tide. Who are we picking for that one?
Go Tide.
Oh,
Roll Tide, unfortunately.
Roll Tide, but that can always be a dangerous game.
Yeah.
I would hate to see the Tide stub their toe, because LSU's been so hapless.
They're 5-2 this year, Bob. They've kind of recovered now a bit, right?
Yeah, well,
they beat
a bit. Yeah, a little bit, but that's a brutal rivalry. My Mountaineers just about snatched defeat from the jaws of victory last week.
Mm.
That was a real blast. You know,
I watched it on.
Did they play TCU or who'd they play, Bob?
They played 0-6 Baylor.
Oh, my God.
And made Baylor look like Alabama in the second half.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, toward the end of the fourth quarter, I was just waiting for Dana Holgorsen to peel off the latex mask and actually be Don Nealon. It was time travel, but not in the good way.
Okay.
They should know better.
I figured you were holding your breath, so I said you could breathe now, Bob. when the game was over.
Yeah, well, I pretty much, well, I was just, no, I was sitting there having a conniption. This is not happening. This is not happening. This is not going to happen. Oh, my God, it's happening.
It went right down to the wire.
Yeah, when, you know, when they scored, what, 35 unanswered points in the second half?
Mm.
The defense just stayed on the bus?
Well, they need to quit drinking frack water when they go to Texas.
Well, they were winded.
So tomorrow is, I think, Oklahoma State.
Oh, that'll be a tough one.
Yeah, if they play like they played in the second half last week, we'll have to add a third digit to the scoreboard.
Mm.
For them.
I think I can watch that streaming.
By the way, note coming in from Michael and Madison. Unofficial hip music connoisseur of the horn. Billable Rick Fest is the subject line. Sounds like a 30-somethings festival to me, with a beat with B-52s and Butthole Surfers as the elder statesman. What Michael wants to know is, are you taking a date half your age? And if one of the B-52s kicks it, we got to lock Rick up. No mas. I like the B-52s. They're fun. I do, too. I mean, isn't there a fucking Kid Rock or Ted Nugent show you could go to, Rick?
You know, I don't know if my ears could stand that. That's the problem. I might lose my hearing.
Lee Greenwood?
Oh, my God. No.
I mean, doesn't Toby Keith ever come to Southern California?
I'm sure he does. We have some country music stations here. We're losing one of our classic rock stations. I think the last station that's devoted just to classic rock, we're losing it here pretty soon. No, actually, to answer Mike's question, I do have a date, but she's actually my age as well. We have a birthday on the same day. We're both turning double nickel tomorrow. So I found that kind of odd because I'd never met somebody who shared my birthday.
Oh, that sounds like kismet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anatole in the chat room tells me Bad Brains are from 77 to 89.
Wow.
Arthur says, weren't they a punk band? And don't know. That's during the Agnes and I were raising that. You know, that's that time period. That's when I stopped being able to be hip anymore. The kids were born, and the 90s are just a blur of the Barney theme and the music from Tinky Winky and.
Oh God. You experienced the same thing I did, Bob. I think.
Oh. I love you love me.
Oh,
I'm as homicidal as I can be.
Oh, God. Didn't one of these evil jellicles claim that Barney was, like, part of the gay agenda?
No, that was Tinky Winky, and that was Jerry Falwell.
Oh, okay.
Tinky Winky was homo.
Yeah, Tinky Winky was purple and carried a purse and had a triangle on top of his head, which meant, of course, that he was just gay, 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 gay. I know. It just makes you. No, it doesn't, because if you did, your brain would melt if you wondered what it was that Jerry Falwell masturbated to. But.
The purple pederast.
Oh, I can't believe I even said that.
Oh, God.
My beautiful mind. But, yeah. and you know, SpongeBob's gay because Patrick is pink. And it goes.
Hey, Bob.
Yes?
Look at that link I just posted in the Skype chat. Is it my local paper, believe it or not?
Stand by while I go there. I'm trying to open it now.
Oh, prayer meeting. Prayer meeting, shaman, beaten. Spare the rod, yeah.
Yep, spare the 2x4 and spoil the youngin'. Well, open, damn you. Here we go. Oh, beautiful. Pennsylvania mom who beat girl for incorrect Bible verses gets prison. Let's see which part of Pennsylvania. I'll ask the Pennsylvania contingent to tell me. Is Middletown, Pennsylvania, the part of Pennsylvania that, well, it's not Pittsburgh and it's not Philly. It must be Alabama. The girl was forced to kneel on the bathroom floor at Schaffner's Middletown home and repeat Bible verses. They say Schaffner slammed her head into the wall each time she made a mistake. They say Schaffner also told the child she was going to kill her and attempted to strangle her. In the name of Jesus! Sorry.
Had to add that. Middletown is right outside of Harrisburg. We're talking wingnut country.
Bat country.
Matter of fact, Trump was just there with Lloyd Smucker a couple weeks ago. Actually, it might have been a week or two ago. So, yeah, it sounds about right that something like that would happen in that area.
Oh, God.
I was looking for another story and then stumbled across that on my local newspaper.
Well, I saw a story and I had, okay, so here it is. Time to ruin people's dinner. A couple has been charged. I forget where they were. I clicked on it, read it, and went, oh, nope, too much. And these are the kinds of stories I do not let Agnes see, because if she does, she starts trying to look for the car keys and she's going to go kill somebody. A couple was charged with the murder of their infant son, who was found decomposing in his baby swing with maggots. I guess that goes with the decomposing part.
Are you talking about Trump supporters there, Bob, or not?
I'm guessing those were not Unitarians.
Okay.
So, you know, America.
What the fuck is wrong with people in this country? I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that right there is I mean, it's kind of like if you ever get a hold of somebody like that, you know what I mean? Hold me back if I ever get in this same room as somebody like that, because that's awful. That's some pro-life people right there for you, I'm sure.
And you know, if you ask the pro-lifers, well, you know, mysterious are the ways of Almighty God. Ain't nothing mysterious about that. That's some sick shit. But, that's one of those where you go,
the other day,
yeah, time to rethink my death penalty stance.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other day, I wanted to tell you guys, I had a Trump supporter get up in my face, kind of, because I was talking to somebody about politics in the grocery store, somebody that I knew, private conversation. And I saw this guy looking over. He heard what we were saying, because I was talking about it. I was like, yeah, he's a maniac, you know. We're not going to be able to survive, you know, 4 years of this shit. He comes up to me and goes, better than Hillary, better than Obama. You know.
Well, did you look at him and go, was I speaking to you?
Oh, I told him. I said, it's a private conversation. And I said, please get away from me. And then he wouldn't stop. And then finally I had to say, dude, get the fuck away from me, you know?
And probably.
It's crazy. What do they think? Oh, and here's another funny story. I called in Scott Perry's office to say, please don't vote for this ridiculous budget. But I asked, you know, the girl said, is he planning on voting for this budget? And she goes, yes, he does. And I said, well, I guess that's because he doesn't represent the people of this district. He only represents the 1%. She goes, No, that's not true. I mean, she got mad at me, dude. She was arguing with me. I said, look at his voting record. I said, he wouldn't even vote to approve funding for Hurricane Harvey victims. She said, well, that's because it had pork and all this stuff in it. And I said, that always seems to be the excuse, isn't it? You know, and I said, I happened to look at what was in there, and there really wasn't that much pork in that bill, you know, so there's no reason why he shouldn't do that. And I said, and then I talked about, you know, I went on a tangent because I was kind of mad, you know, that she would actually, they're not supposed to do that shit, man. They're not supposed, they're supposed to hold their tongue.
No, no,
they're
no. Supposed to just say, thank okay. you. I'll pass your message along.
Right. Well, this girl was a true believer, man. She was. And she, you know, started arguing with me. And then he goes, then when I said something about Trump being a maniac in the White House, I said, he votes with this maniac 92% of the time. She goes, oh, yeah, because Trump is the maniac. That's what she said to me, dude. I said, what's your name? I'll pass your message along. Thank you. Bye. As soon as I asked what her name was, she never told me what it was.
Was just out of curious, was it the curiosity, was it the local office or the D.C. office?
D.C. office, because they said that the local office, they only it's constituent relations. And if you want them, if he's in Washington and you want to relay a message to him about voting on something that's on an upcoming vote, they say you're supposed to call the Washington office because they can't get to – because the local office can't correspond that quick. So it was the Washington office.
And then, then the Washington office, you get transferred to Nasty Nancy.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful. Oh, by the way, 16 minutes past the hour, we got off to a healthy start with Roderick, and we've sort of stayed right there. So we've still got – we still got $300 to go to finish the month. If in fact we want to have a fundraising free Monday, Halloween, Moran Monday. If just to finish Friday, we need to raise another $150. So there we go. If anybody wants to, because we gotta, you know, that licking the Lithuanian and nudging the Norsky and cashing the check is kind of a big deal around here. So there we get. That's where we are with $300 to go in fundraising. So the button is over at headonradionetwork.com, the contribute tab. Or if you'd like to make it part of a subscription and you want to do the Patreon thing and you don't want to fool with PayPal, you can always go to Patreon, patreon.com/Bob Kincaid, and become one of the subscribers there. Just got a note from Mike in Cascadia. It came from the Action Network. Today, Senator, bad news for Bears ears. Today, Senator Hatch talked to President Trump. Bears ears will be downsized and expect serious changes in Grand Staircase Escalante, including opening it to coal exploiters. Oh, God. It is expected that there will be an announcement from Orrin Hatch, who wants more coal mining in Utah because coal is so good for the natural beauty of a beautiful place. Apparently, Orrin Hatch is going to retire at the end of his term next year. And the scuttlebutt is that Willard Romney will then run for his seat. How helpful. Yeah, not. Jesus. They're pushing for a complete rescission of the Bears Ears National Monument designation. They want to otherwise reduce or modify the boundaries of Grand Staircase Escalante, you know, because that one in our White House overreached with his overreaching federal Kenyan Muslim authority and you slurped the power of the people to blow the living bejesus out of, you know, sacred native lands. Right. These people. God almighty, these people. Hey, thanks, Ralphs. Ralphs just knocked it down by another $25, so we've got that means $275 to go to finish the week. And again, I'm counting in because I know on the 28th of the month, our buddy Randy in PA will knock it down by 50. So I included that in the calculus. So we've got $275 to go, so that we will not have any fundraising on Halloween Moor and Monday. Okay, cool.
These people consider undoing everything their predecessor did, governing. Do people actually think that that's governing? Because it isn't. How about they come up with their own idea? All their stance is, and I heard a couple, I actually saw an op-ed piece or something from a Republican who said, all right, I didn't like Obama either, but come on, come up with your own ideas. He said, is the only thing the Republican Party stands for anymore is undo everything Obama did?
Well, that's look, all he stands for. No, they wouldn't be, I mean, they didn't behave this way when W took over after Clinton. For those who remember the waning days of the Vietnam War, there was a program called Vietnamization, where we ostensibly turned over operations to the Vietnamese Army, South Vietnamese Army. Well, this is kind of the opposite of that. What these Republicans are doing, and make no mistake, the maggots love this, because this is the denigrification of government. Because the Kenyan Muslim usurper shouldn't never have been allowed to be a president anyway, because as one woman said after the Democratic primary in West Virginia in 2008, our country just isn't ready for one of those in the White House. This is actually a program called this is the Republican denigrification of our government, so that it can be a good, decent, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, white government some more. So that's denigrification, denigrification. And in order to complete absolute, in order to have total denigrification, everything that Barack Obama did has to be undone.
Do you really think it's racially motivated? I mean, I do too. I do, but I also think that a lot of this what they're doing, isn't so much race related or gender related, but more class related. You know, like class warfare is, I think, is their ultimate goal. And they compound the class warfare with divide and conquer, and that's why they use the racial identity politics.
Well, that's kind of a cognitive thought experiment. If a racist does something, is it a racist act? Okay, because the maggots are racists. All right? You know, we went through months and months of hand-wringing and pearl-clutching over their precious economic anxiety. And then people finally began to figure out, oh, look, they're fucking Klansmen and neo-Nazis. Son of a bitch.
Lot of them are actually making – every single Trump supporter I know makes good money, every single one almost. So that was all bullshit to begin with, the whole economic anxiety. And that's the media – you know, like I said, I think the media colluded unwittingly with the Trump campaign and now the Trump regime, because they abdicated their duty to hold it accountable and to call out lies. And no, they just went along with it. They didn't do any research. Didn't, you know, they don't care about anybody who isn't a Trump supporter. They've proven this many times over. Mike Malloy said that he saw on MSNBC the other day, Stephanie Ruhl's show went out to Arizona to talk to voters, and there was one woman that said, I voted for Hillary Clinton. Okay, yeah, we don't care about you. And they just focused on the Trump supporters. You know, so, and you know what that does? It's actually propping up the Trump administration. It's making them look good, because when they go to only talk to Trump supporters, all the Trump supporters are they're only talking to dead enders. They're only talking to people who aren't going to say bad things about Trump. So that's actually serving as a propaganda machine for the Trump campaign or for the Trump administration.
It creates the impression that he has more support than he does. Right? Oh, and my God.
Absolutely. Quite so.
My ability to cipher has bitten me in the ass again. Halloween's actually Tuesday. Thank you, VT Blom, in the chat room. Thank you so much. So I was absolutely wrong. So let's just back things up so that we've only got $150 to raise for the evening, okay? And so that's $125 now because, we've got Moran Monday and then Tuesday. Tuesday's Halloween. So we've got 2 days of October left next week. Me, ciphering, calendars, confusion. So anyway, that means there's actually $400 to raise next week and then the rest of tonight. And so we'll go.
I was going to correct you on that, Bob, but I was busy doing something.
Well, I understand. There's, you've got Grady out there, among other things.
I'm cleaning up the pomegranate mess.
Ooh.
Trimming.
Oh, yucky. Just got a note from Charlie in Tennistan. Hey, Bob, if you were in Hendersonville, Tennessee, you could be attending a rally with Mike Huckabee and Diane Black at Trinity Music Center tonight. Hoo-wee! Oh, I bet there's going to be some Christianity, some Christian love and compassion on display there. We'll still go. On Monday, we will still work toward having a fundraising-free Halloween. But we'll just try to finish off tonight as best we can. I have a tech question. Courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa. You were talking about listening to Malloy, John. Asa says, could you please ask the group if they hear Malloy in mono, right channel only, or is it just moi? Assuming you're listening on Progressive Voices, mind you. And assuming you're listening live. You there, John? No, John's gone. Well, this applies to everybody else who listens to Malloy live, too. Do you just get it in one?
I don't listen to him anymore.
But if you want to just shoot me an email and answer, because it's kind of a burr under Brother Deacon Asa's saddle. This is a coded message to Jim. We don't have any buffering going on here, so maybe restart your player. So 28 minutes past the hour, and... Okay, Jug of Punch in the chat room says mono. Kid Mark in the chat room. Bob loves that word, neo-Nazi. No, actually, I despise that word. Just like I despise Nazis. But it's kind of hard not to talk about them because we've got a lot more of them than most people in this country want to acknowledge. We've either got them or we've got people who... what's the word? Enable them. Yeah. Enable them. So, that. Okay. What else do we have out there? Oh, I mentioned... Agnes isn't here, and I was left to my own desserts last night. And by desserts, I don't mean anything that's fun to eat. I was just sort of on my own for something to watch, so I was... And I found... I found a series called Texas Rising. And it's, several episodes, and it's about the Texas Revolution, Sam Houston, all of that stuff. Pretty serious cast.
I watched that a couple of years ago.
I'd never seen it before. I'd never even heard of it. Don't tell me how it ends.
Is it on Netflix?
No, I watched it on Amazon Prime, I guess.
Oh, okay. I knew it was one or the other.
Yeah, I think it came out on Stars. But there was this one line in the first episode where the thing begins at the Alamo, and it shows the killing of some of the people at the Alamo, and one of them is a black guy whose name is Jupiter. And the firing squad shoots him, but they don't do a good enough job to kill him. And so then another a Mexican soldier comes by and runs him through with his saber. This is, after all, 1836. Swords were still a going concern. Not strictly decorative. And so his sister is there at the Alamo, and she sent away, sent back to the Texans, the whatever. And she's engaged in a conversation with Sam Houston, who says, "Well, at least he died free. Texas is a slave-free state." And about flung the tablet across the bedroom, because nothing could. Who got away with writing that? That was the most bilious load of crap that I've. Oh my God. The biggest part of the Texas independence movement was because they wanted to be free of Mexico, because Mexico had outlawed slavery. Oy. Oy. Let's see.
Yeah, I watched that a couple of years ago.
Well, is it worth it? I've gotten through episode 2. Is it worth continuing with?
Yeah.
I thought Brendan Fraser was a kind of a weird casting choice. But yeah, okay. Well, I'll keep going. I didn't realize it was that old, but I'm just trying to find stuff to watch until the stuff I want to watch comes back. And I was telling Ron and Raleigh the other night, I'm holding off on Star Trek Discovery until there's enough of them for me to binge watch. Because I guess I'm part of that demographic now, where I don't want to wait from week to week to week. Agnes and I are waiting week to week to week on the latest installment of Outlander. And lo and behold, I don't know how they did this, but in this season of Outlander, they have managed to appropriate part of my damn family history. I mean, not everybody in this country can be, what are the odds of coming up with a storyline where you're dealing with a Scottish publisher of somewhat revolutionary literature? That's my multi great 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 grandpa. And what's interesting is they named him. He's operating. Don't want to ruin anything for anybody, but he's operating under a pseudonym, Alexander Malcolm. My great 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 grandpappy was Alexander Kincaid, and he was a publisher. And he published, in Scotland at least, most of the body of what is called the Scottish Enlightenment, which had a tremendous impact on the theory behind most of the liberty movement and most of the revolutionary movement in the colonies that led to the revolution and the formation of the United States. So, brushes with greatness, right? Let's see, couple of answers for Brother Deacon Asa. Jug of Punch says mono, and Robert in Australia says yes. On Progressive Voices, I get Malloy in mono, right channel only. So it's not you, Asa, and you are not losing your mind. And thanks to Charlie. Charlie just took us down another $25. So let's see. We got $100 to go to finish fundraising for the evening with 26 minutes to go in the program. Hooray. And if we can do that, I'll order my wheel bearing assemblies. Yay! Squeaky in the chat room says Malloy was mono ride on a computer I last listened to. I think we have an answer. I don't know why. But then again, if you're doing progressive radio, it's a minor miracle that any programs get out at all, because we're all running on bandaged and duct taped equipment, and I think they're, you know, our the fine folks at Frontier fried our extremely expensive telephone processor unit. On the other hand, Mike and Kathy's identical unit died, I think, sometime in the last year. So there's the answer to that question. And Brother Deacon Asa says thanks to the Horn community. What was that? I had an email a little bit ago that was actually kind of funny.
Can I make a movie represent?
I'm sorry.
I watched on Amazon.
I'm sorry, what?
Could I make a movie recommendation?
Oh, do please. Yeah, you don't even have to ask.
Megan Levy with Kate Mara on Amazon Prime, based on a true story.
Expand on that. What's it about? I mean,
Marine. She's a Marine, and she's a dog handler. Went to Afghanistan.
Ah, okay. Pretty good stuff.
Well, it's kind of a tearjerker at the end.
Oh, I don't know if I want to bawl here at the end of the evening.
Well, it's a good stuff, but I mean, anyway, it's just, it ends good with a good story.
Okay. Because
if you're a dog, if you like dogs, it's a good story. Rex, the German Shepherd.
Cool. Is there any other good happening stuff out that? I don't know. I guess I've become really, really particular about what I watch, unless I'm, you know, just giving up. Well, last night was just kind of a give up sort of thing. I had a feeling when I saw that I would be disappointed, but I didn't know that they would completely rewrite the history of slavery in the United States.
I don't remember that part. All I know is Brendan Fraser's in a TV show that I liked. I've been watching for the last few years.
Oh, yeah?
The Last Ship on TNT.
Which character is he, Duncan?
He's, I thought he was the captain.
No, I don't think that's the captain. I don't think that's Brendan Fraser.
Maybe I'm mistaken.
No, I don't think it is. It's another dude. I forget his name. He's a good actor. That's an interesting show. Have you watched that, Bob, at all, The Last Ship?
No.
Oh, you got to watch it. It's good.
Oh, wait, that's the sort of sci-fi kind of thing?
Huh?
That's the sort of sci-fi kind of thing?
Yeah, there's like this plague in the, you know, in the country, or actually around the world, that wipes out most of the population. And so it's kind of a survivalist kind of motif.
Apocalyptic kind of.
Yeah, like a post-apocalyptic kind of.
Yeah, I've seen that. I don't know why I just blew past it, but... I probably do need to check it out.
Yeah, it's worth watching. It's good stuff, I think, anyway.
Oh, breaking news, guys. And thanks to our buddy VT Blom. We're down below 100 bucks to go. We got 90 bucks to go with 21 minutes to go in the program. Thank you, Gary. Thank you very kindly. But breaking news, courtesy of Mark down in Florida. Headline from CNN, exclusive. First charges filed in Mueller investigation. Mark said, game on.
Ooh.
Let's just see what it says here. Dateline, Washington. A federal grand jury in Washington, D.C. on Friday approved the first charges in the investigation led by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, according to sources briefed on the matter. The charges are still sealed under orders from a federal judge. Plans were prepared Friday for anyone charged to be taken into custody as soon as Monday. The sources said it is unclear what the charges are. A spokesman for the special counsel's office declined to comment. And that's I mean, that's the
well, that's the good, bulk Bob, of it. Because, yeah, that's important because the Republicans are talking about maybe defunding the Mueller investigation.
Well, right, because he's getting close and the heat's on.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's got to hurry up and get it finished.
On Friday, top lawyers who are helping to lead the Mueller probe, including veteran prosecutor Andrew Weissman, were seen entering the courtroom at the D.C. federal court where the grand jury meets to hear testimony in the Russia investigation. Reporters present saw a flurry of activity at the grand jury room, but officials made no announcement. Well, so do we want to take? Do we want to engage in some rampant and meaningless speculation?
Absolutely, Bob. Let's have at it.
Okay, you got a guess? Because I got a guess.
I think Manafort is the.
Well, that was my
guess.
That was my guess.
He's the low-hanging fruit, I think. You know, failing to register as a foreign lobbyist, probably tax charges.
You don't think Flynn? Or maybe how about a twofer? How about Manafort and Flynn?
Yeah, why not? Sure, let's do it. And I'll raise you Jared as well.
Oh, I think that's...
And we'll throw in Don Jr.
That's just a little too exciting for this early in the process.
Okay, I know.
But then again, nice. we don't... This grand jury's been sitting for a long damn time.
Yeah, they have.
I mean, I know people said... Well, you know, it'll probably take Mueller 2 years. The grand jury's been impaneled since practically the inauguration.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, grand jury investigations, they go in some ways a lot quicker than just regular administrative investigations, you know?
Hung Like Jesus is betting Flynn and Don Jr.
Oh, hmm.
Now see if you wanted wait a minute okay let's be strategical. If you wanted to force Tangerine Tiberius to tip his hand, if you really wanted to just drive him around the bend and make him do what you would because he's so predictable. Yeah, maybe you'd indict Don Jr. Or maybe you'd indict Jared. Because
what about Ivanka?
All of those failure to register things, you know, on the security clearance forms and all, those are all crimes.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing about, you know, the thing about not properly reporting stuff on disclosures and stuff, that's a little bit ticky-tacky in terms of criminal charges. Yeah, it's a crime, but, you know, you're going to be charging people with that. Like, the foreign lobbyist thing is a bigger deal. But, like, you know, Jared and Don Jr. I guess Jared had the biggest problem having to continually amend his
government
application.
I'd say Flynn was the biggest problem with that.
Okay, I guess it was Flynn, yeah.
I thought they were going to try and get Manafort for money laundering.
And that may be what it is.
Maybe a conspiracy to money launder with a bunch of those characters in there, you know?
And, of course, there's always obstruction of justice.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It would be, and of course, with this breaking news, we know what's going to suck all the oxygen out of the room for the next 2.5 news cycles, don't we? It's going to be this, and it's going and it's going to be great big games of whodunit. With no more information than we got here. I'm sorry, Sparky. What?
I'm going to be clicking over to Rachel as soon as you're done. See what she has to say.
You know, what's going to happen Trump is going to have to start acting crazy to distract the media away from this story. So expect some crazy shit to happen from the White House the next couple of days.
Well, what you're saying tracks with what Asa just said. How much you want to bet American bombs start landing somewhere over the weekend?
Mm. Yeah.
Pence was at Minot today.
Let's
you know
see.
You know what Minot at North Dakota Air Force Base is?
Yeah. Is that SAC?
Well, there's no SAC anymore.
But that's a nuclear base.
Yeah, they have B-52s and they have missile silos there.
Right. No, get a little closer, Mike. No, look down there. You can actually see the missile. No, a little closer, Mike. Wait, is that an Indian head nickel in front of you? Here, let me bend down and get it. Right. Note coming in from Steve in New York. I'm thinking that the indictments will be anyone who has ties to New York because if Shitbag pardons them, Attorney General Schneiderman will be ready to indict them under New York state law. And that's another story that's out there. I was reading about it just last night. Rexon Tillerson has some big problems. Namely, Eric Schneiderman and the Massachusetts Attorney General, Maura, can't remember her last name, are pursuing ExxonMobil for their failure for their cover-up of all the information they had regarding climate change. So, ExxonMobil's lawyers have, they're getting real nasty, which means they're getting real worried. ExxonMobil sued the attorneys general of Massachusetts and New York in federal court in Texas to try to suppress the prosecution, claiming that the prosecution, get this is one of the legal theories that will just drive you batshit, Rick and Steve in New York. The litigation, the suit in Texas in federal court claims that Schneiderman and the Massachusetts Attorney General are violating Exxon's First Amendment rights to free speech by investigating them for lying to their shareholders. They claim that they, by God, have the right to say anything they want to about anything they want to because freedom.
Well, by that definition, you know, a fraudster has a First Amendment right to lie to investors. So why do you ever have Ponzi schemers convicted, Bob?
Yeah, time to let Bernie Madoff out.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that's a ridiculous theory. That's just absurd on its face. But they got to argue something, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll be doing this after the show closes, Sparky. I'll be doing just about the same thing you will be. I'll be checking in with. Of course, this is being reported as a CNN exclusive, so I don't know. Rachel probably won't have any more than what CNN has, but she'll probably offer up some sort of analysis on it.
Yeah.
As Hung Like Jesus points out in the chat room, the big news always drops on Friday night. And yes, that moron in the Winehouse. Oh, very nice. Wait a minute. Moron in the Winehouse is going to set Twitter on fire between now and daybreak.
Where's he going to play golf this weekend?
Oh, what, Jersey? Or is it? Can he even get on at Mar-a-Lago right now? Oh, did you hear about the Chinese billionaire who was all set to be deported until Trump found out that he was a member of Mar-a-Lago? So now the deportation's off.
Yep.
Guys wanted in China for rape and shit like that.
Yep.
And so all of a sudden, nope. Too bad. Too bad the little 10-year-old girl with CP and a bum gallbladder wasn't a member at Mar-a-Lago, huh?
Yep.
Jesus. Here's an interesting thought from James. Subject line, divide and kick their asses. You reckon they could get the son-in-law to turn on the family? Well, there's other interesting factors in play with Jared, too, because his note on his family's one claim to fame, that pile of bricks they own in Manhattan, is about to come due, and he can't find anybody to refi. So he's about to become a bankrupt. Possibly, potentially. So there's that, too. Interesting.
Isn't his sister in trouble for something now, too? I seem to have read.
Well, there was that thing where she went over to China and offered everybody green cards if they would buy condos in their building.
Oh, that. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
See, that's what makes it a challenge to guess who's been indicted, because they're all fucking dirty.
Yeah, we prosecutors, we used to call that a target-rich environment, Bob. Like when you're like, okay, you're trying to decide who to go after, you know. There's just so many.
Well, all right, ex-prosecutor, who would you go after?
Well, I would go after Manafort, okay? And I would probably go after Eric Prince as well. And I would go after probably Jared to try to lean on, you know, Trump. You know, and Flynn, of course.
Okay, here's one for you. If you're Mueller and you know that that he could fire you at any minute, might you be? I mean, if you could develop the evidence, might you just jump right out there and indict his ass?
Trump?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you have nothing to lose, you know, go for the gold. You know.
And there's no. I mean, constitutionally, he is not. The Constitution does not prevent the indictment of a sitting president. It just prevents the prosecution of him.
Right. The prosecution could be held in abeyance while he serves his term, you know, or terms, you know. I find it hard to believe this guy is going to stay in there even 4 years, Bob. I don't know. I mean, maybe the guy's going to self-immolate, you know.
Well, the only
the hair's going to set him on fire, you know.
Well, the only way he doesn't serve out his term is if nature takes its course.
Yeah, which could happen. I mean,
unless the Democrats can take both houses of Congress in 2018.
Yeah, that's a big if. I mean, as it is, if they get this huge tax cut for the millionaires or billionaires through, then it might even be hard for the Dems to take back the House, you know? Plus, they're gerrymandered the hell out of the districts anyway, you know?
Well, there's that and the voter suppression.
Right. Right, exactly.
But if I read that story right, if Orrin Hatch retires and Romney runs, is there a credible Democrat in Utah who could run against him?
You'd like to think there is. Maybe a former U.S. attorney during the Obama years or something like that. You know? I know nothing about Utah politics, so I'm sort of the wrong guy to ask here.
Well, that makes two of us.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there's some guy by the last name of Young who's a Democrat there. Who knows, you know?
Oh, we've got Hung Like Jesus is batting 1,000 in the chat room this evening. We've got another word to play with. Refer to the Trump administration henceforward as the Trump-tanic.
That's cowbell worthy, Bob. That's, you know.
Absolutely.
That's like restaurant quality. That's primo.
How about an indictment? Whoa, wait a minute. United States Attorney General. Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III has pretty much been caught red-handed lying to the Senate under oath.
Yeah.
Now, unless I'm completely wrong, that isn't, he could be cited for contempt of Congress, but perjury in testifying to Congress is a form of perjury, is it not?
Absolutely.
That's a slam dunk. That's easy.
Yeah. Well, Maybe he gets indicted too. That would be wonderful. I'd love it. You know, the more the better. You know. You indict all these people, then they start to turn against each other.
Did you do grand jury work?
Oh yeah, yeah. I indicted cases in front of the grand jury. You betcha.
Federal grand juries are different from state grand juries, but
Federal is what I had.
Right,
yeah.
And I mean I did states, but mm-hmm. So you stand in there and you know the indictment of, if you think about it, the indictment of Sessions would be pretty easy.
Yeah.
You sit there and you document, he met with Kislyak, he met with, and uh-huh. then you play, and then all you have to do is play the clip of him being sworn in at his confirmation hearing, and then play the clip of him lying to Al Franken.
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, at that point, doesn't that you go, okay, I'm leaving the room now, y'all vote.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, that true bill's pretty easy, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, I would think so.
And you know what?
That's
one of those things. Well, any indictment is going to drive Trump batshit.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
But that one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. That one would really sting.
Yeah. Yeah. Although he doesn't really like Sessions.
Well, but it's still his attorney general.
Well, that's true.
And it's a high-ranking cabinet official.
Mm-hmm.
Or I mean, you know, it's a member of his cabinet.
Right. Right.
And then of course, the obvious comparisons start being made to people like, John Mitchell.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And Watergate. You know. But another thing they could do is they could play. Sessions' subsequent statements where he tried to backtrack on what he had said earlier about, you know, not having communications with Russians. So he basically is changing his story. So
that might be the most delicious one of all.
Yeah.
Because among other things, because he's recused, he couldn't even know that he was the subject of an investigation.
Oh, there you go.
Now, I guess Mueller would have to give him a target letter if he asked for one.
Well, as a courtesy, they would send it to his attorney. You know, I mean, he's probably already received a target letter.
You think Good he would? Chance. You think he would have?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
I've turned on. Chris Hayes are talking about it on there.
Hmm. So nobody's watching the World Series here, huh? Houston's up 1-0.
Bottom
of the second.
I'm not into it. I'm going to go watch the Warriors play tonight.
Yeah.
Later. Well, we have reached the end of another scintillating Friday on the front porch. And thanks everybody for jumping in. Thank you to Clarity and thank you, Rick. Even though you were busy with birthday cake, wonderful, delicious chocolate cake with extra scoops.
Yeah. Thanks you, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
And thanks to John earlier. And thank you to Sparky for hosting. So we close the program down $90, and hopefully that will resolve over the weekend. Leaving us, we'll call it we're down $40 because I'll go ahead and add in Randy and PA that I know of, and like I said, hopefully we'll finish that other 40, and that'll leave us with $400 to finish the week, or finish the month, and lick the Lithuanian, nudge the Norsky, and cash the check. Thanks everybody. Thanks to everybody who participates. Good group in the chat room this evening. Thank you for jumping in and joining in on the Madcap Merry Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza. Thank you to all of you who support the program. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you so very much. I love getting emails like I got last night from people who said, I couldn't find you for a while, and now you're back. So glad to have you listening again. Glad you were able to find us again. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Missed you tonight, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Gene. I hope you found the story. If you didn't, let me know, and I'll send it to you after the program now. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all. Have a great weekend.